Amen. You can go and take it. I'm going to do a wee song maybe halfway through the sermon just to kind of... So if you stay handy. Hallelujah. Oh. Where's those certificates? I've spotted two young ladies. Is there certificates down there somewhere? Come on. Do you two work for Women to Women? Deary me. Oh. Who's in the doghouse tonight? Pastor Debbie. I think I saw them. Is Lua Joy here? Yeah, there. And is Hadel here? Come on down and get your Salt Tire Awards, ladies. Oh, yeah, no hiding places here. It's just two of, are they here yet? It's okay. Just linger. There, come on, ladies. A round of applause for the lovely ladies there. Oh, we don't embarrass you here. There you go. Thank you. There you go. Thank you. And there is one for Aaron also, but Aaron can't be with us this morning. Today we're speaking to everyone. We're speaking to the children. But how many adults think they've still got a child heart? Oh, really? You're so intellectual. So I hope the adults are listening in. Don't you love Shona and Fiona? They are lovely, let's be honest about it. Our Kids Connection are following a program that have developed in this year about dreaming big. Anyone got a big dream? I don't sleep long enough. So speaking to Kids Connection soon about one of the other dreams here that God gave us, and that is going to be about our missions to Ghana that God gave us some years ago. But by dreams, I don't mean something that I thought of in my sleep. Although that can happen to some people. Some people dream, and there's dreamers amongst us, I'm pretty sure. But what I mean is an opportunity that God gave me, or God gave you, and we now choose to follow that call that God's placed on our life. Now, last week the children studied Samuel, and it says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Amen. And this, I believe, is so important to all of us. Children of God of all ages, ask God to speak to you, okay? That's very important. And then listen and follow the guidance that you hear from Him. Has anyone ever asked you what you want to be when you grow up? I know that one. And some men in their 50s are still wondering what they want to be when they grow up. It's very, 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 very true. I wanted to be John Wayne when I was growing up. And some might say I'm still a bit of a cowboy today, but hey, we'll go with that one. It's great to know what you think would be an interesting job, or where you think your skills or your abilities lie. But your purpose, listen to this, your purpose in life is much bigger than a job title. Much bigger. Your goal in life should always simply be whatever God leads. Wherever God wants to take me. So how can we discover the answer to all of these kind of life questions? And what will it take to completely fulfill the call of God or the calling of God on our lives from a young age right through to adult life? Just as Samuel did, and also just as a young man called Gideon did. Everyone say, Gideon. Gideon. Amen. His story starts in the book of Judges chapter 6. Now, who knows the story of Gideon? Who knows it? You're all scared to put your hands up, aren't you? Because the first person that said it, I was going to give you the microphone. and just let you go for it. Gideon was from the nation of Israel. They were God's chosen people, amen. But God's chosen people had a bad habit. Who's all got a bad habit? Oh, you fibbers. Not one of you in here. We can resign, Pastor Debbie, and just go and live a life of luxury somewhere. No one's got any problems or bad habits in the church. How many of you have a bad habit of making a big promise that you didn't follow through? One or two have. Well, they had this bad habit, the children of Israel, making big promises to follow God and worship God only, and then changing their mind, and then worshipping other gods and doing evil or doing wrong in the sight of God. And so to get their attention, God would allow other nations or tribes or clans to fight them and actually win. This is how God operated. So that they would call out to God again and seek forgiveness by putting God first in their lives. Now at this time, there was a people known as the Midianites. Everyone say Midianites. Go boo! Oh, I don't like the Midianites. And they had taken over Israel, stealing their food and resources for up to 7 years. And God's plan now was to call a brand new leader in the land of Israel to stand up and call the people back into obedience, to turn back to him and to acknowledge God with a holy and reverent fear. But this young man, Gideon, was actually afraid. He's actually in hiding and he's anxious of all his enemies round about him. Now, who has ever been afraid? I mean, who's afraid of spiders? Who's ever saw a spider in their bedroom and wouldn't go in until it was caught? There's more men hands going up there than there's women hands. What kind of church are we building here, Danny? We'll do a sermon in spiders. Arachnophobia. We'll do it on that particular subject. That's what we'll do. We'll go for it there. Debbie can come and teach the men. That's what we'll do. Sort it out. Who's ever been afraid? We're all afraid, aren't we, at different times of our life? We're afraid of the most small things to the largest things. One of the big things we're afraid of is something that we think is going to happen that doesn't happen. And we worry, some people worry themselves right into the grave with that kind of fear, stress, and anxiety. So in Judges chapter 6, Israel is living under oppression. That's, they've been unfairly treated by their enemies, being the Midianites. And a young man called Gideon is hiding from the enemy. The Bible tells us he is in a wine press threshing wheat. Now, a wine press, a little bit of history here, was normally dug into a rock or the rock with two different levels. One where grapes were thrown and stamped or trampled upon, and a lower level when the juice would then flow into it. So Gideon was hiding more or less in this huge hole in the ground, and God sends an angel to Gideon. Wow. And the angel comes to Gideon to tell him about God and to tell him about his future and his destiny and his identity. Now, Logan's going to come. Where's Logan? Logan's going to come and he's going to share some scripture with us this morning. He's a man of God.
Judges 6, 12 to 14 says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' Then Gideon said, 'Pardon me, sir. If the Lord is with us, why are we having so many problems? Our ancestors told us he did miracles. They told us the Lord brought them out of Egypt, but now he has left us. He has allowed the Midianites to defeat us.' The Lord turned to Gideon and said, 'You have the strength to save the people of Israel. Go and save them from the Midianites. I am the one who is sending you.'"
Amen.
Amen.
felt the anointing there. Hallelujah. So when the angel calls Gideon, he calls him a mighty warrior. A mighty warrior. You know what's happening there? God's actually given Gideon now his true identity. And that's how God operates and God works. God doesn't just see you by your name as you are. He sees underneath that. He sees the potential that's in you and what's about to come out of your life as you commit your life to God. Now, you all know how much I like the meaning of names. Well, the name Gideon means cutter down or destroyer. Cutter down or destroyer. And Gideon is now destined to be a leader who, with God's help, overthrows Israel's powerful enemy. But Gideon, now remember, he's still a young man, he's a young lad, he still sees himself a little bit differently. He's still seen himself as weak and flawed and insignificant and powerless. As a result, he's living still in fear and weakness. The angel telling Gideon's identity and destiny almost starts a chain of events that brings Gideon out of hiding and right into history. Now, we might not have an angel turn up on our doorstep. Now, we might. Probably not. With a message from God like Gideon did. We might not get a dream or a prophecy. But listen to this. Bring it down. We can seek and follow our God-given identity and destiny nevertheless. And when we do, it will have a life-changing consequence to other people, but also on our own life. So what can we all learn from Gideon's story? Are you ready to hear another scripture from another man of God? Tinashe, come on up here. Oh.
Ephesians 2 verse 10. God has made us what we are in Christ Jesus. God has made us new people so that we would do good works. God has planned in advance those good works for us. He has planned for us to live our lives doing them.
Fantastic. Thank you. You know what we're doing? We're preparing them. That's what we do here at Mosley. We prepare them nice and early, get the fire in their belly, and then the Holy Spirit does the rest. So God now steps into the life, watch this, of a normal, anxious young lad, the youngest son from a poor family, and announces, I've got plans for you. I've got plans for your life. You see, God's purpose for our lives is not our own good idea of what we should be like or what we should be doing. It's specifically his plan for our lives. And God's destiny for your life will also make sense with the way that he has created you. You see, every single little one or person in this room, you want to know something about yourself? You are a limited edition. You are unique. There's only one of you. There's only one person made like you and wired like you. And so it helps to think about the clues throughout our lives that God has given us. Your experiences, the passions that you have in life, your abilities, but also the spiritual gifts that God has given you. But don't limit God by overthinking all these things. Remember, he took Gideon by surprise. And listen, our good God, as you serve him, will give you a life full of surprises that are totally unique to you. Listen to this. Do you think, now most of you didn't know me when I was 14, 15, 16. Do you think any of my school teachers thought I would end up as a pastor? I was a bad boy. Definitely not. In fact, my headmaster sitting in here today. And you want to know something really secret? He had the pleasure of giving me 6 of the belt. twice. And then he handed me over to Mr. Jack, the maths teacher. But I'm his teacher now. He's my student now. I left school at 15 and became a window cleaner with my dad. People often laugh, think, what a low-level job, a window cleaner. I loved it. Paid great money. It was absolutely great. And we worked for ourselves. Didn't have the qualifications to go to university or college or Bible college. But here's what happened for me around the age of about 19, 20. For those who know me, I'm a slow learner. I'm a slow burner. But when I get something, I get it. And it sticks in me and it stays in me. And when the Holy Spirit really got into me, and it was the Holy Spirit that brought a revelation of God's love to my life, when that happened, I began to sit in church and devour every word that Pastor Robert was saying. And my dad and other visiting preachers or speakers who came in, I scoffed it up. I scoffed it up. And I was devouring the word of God. And I took time after that to listen to God. I was just a young man, completely insecure in myself, a young man. Then I began to, and this is not me because I told you I wasn't educated. I didn't like school. I liked words to a certain degree. I began to write down the things that I was praying about. And I began to write down the things that I was reading, things from the Word of God. Listen to me this. Years later, I still have in a box in my office all the words and all the conversations I wrote down to God when I was about 19 years old. I have on pencil the first ever sermon I wrote. And it was the parable of the net. And it was rubbish. Who said you're still rubbish? I heard that. Is that you? No. And it's all about, the only way I could do it was, the gaps in the net are too wide and some of the fish slide through. And so God gave me a word that we need to tighten the nets so that no one gets through the gaps in the net and all are saved. That was kind of my first sermon. It was about 7 minutes long. Praise God, and nobody gets saved. I'll share it sometime. We'll make it better. But take time as a young person to pray and ask Father the questions. I've done this kind of throughout my life. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? What have you called and created me for? Now, are you ready for a woman of God? Are you really? Hannah, come on up here, woman of God.
First Corinthians chapter 1, 26 to 27. Brothers and sisters, look at what you were when God called you. Not many of you were wise in the way the world judges wisdom. Not many of you had great influence. Not many of you came from the important families. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong.
Fantastic. So, when God calls Gideon, the young man doesn't really know yet his destiny or really who he is, his identity. In fact, He is currently being and behaving the very opposite of what God has called him to do. I wonder, do we ever do that? Do we ever run or behave the wrong way or say the wrong things? Well, he was still not coming in line with what he was called to be. Why? Because again, he was scared of what all this meant for his life. But his God-given identity is now to be bold. It is to be strong. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Did anyone get that? See, Peter's giving his age away there. He's the only one in the praise band that got the cue. for the song. So we'll pause and do a song, then we'll tie all this up very nicely at the very end. I'll get the accordion as well. See, have a wee seat. We're coming to the tail end of the story. The boy in the story thinks still I've been too small, too insignificant and too unimportant. How many have ever felt that way? Most of us have. But now God is calling him to be the leader of the nation. And in the Bible, over and over again, you see God uses people who have a history of weakness or failure or being flawed. And then he brings out this incredible God strength in their life. See, God by nature is our redeemer. Amen? A redeemer is a person who redeems, meaning someone who repays, recovers, saves, or exchanges something for something else. Think about this morning, perhaps, where you've been hurt, or where you've been disappointed, or where you've even sinned, or maybe an area of your life where you have felt weak. And these are the very things that God is redeeming for every one of us. And with his help today, you will not only overcome those weaknesses, but they'll become areas of your life which you'll become strong, in so much you can then help other people. And remember, when your father speaks to you about your identity and about your destiny, that will be something way beyond your own natural ability to accomplish. I didn't have the ability, really, or education or intellect to be a pastor. I didn't have the training or the skills. But God, here's what happened. Now watch this. When you give your life to God, it's not all about the training. It's not all about being clever. It's not all about being well educated. The most important thing is you open your heart to God, and God puts this amazing, incredible love deep inside your heart and deep inside your soul. His love for people and his love for the lost everyone who needs a shepherd. And here's what happened for my life. Not Gideon's. Jesus gave me a love for praying for people's needs. Right through my life. And a love that has never left me for his word. And that's why at Moss Vale you will never hear a compromised, diluted, watered down gospel. If you want that, I can point you to a few places. We can get that, no problems. You want truth? Show up here, week in, week out. Come to church, come to Kids Connection Children, come to prayer meetings. Visit us at the men's meeting, visit us at the women's, well, don't visit me at the women's meeting, but come along to the women's meeting. There'll be many women here who will greet you and make you welcome. I don't pretend to stand up here and think I understand it all or know it all, because there are days when I don't. And there's days where I feel completely incapacitated to do what God's called me to do. But then he's reminded me of this deep love. And regardless of my weakness and my failure and my insecurities, that he's greater than all of these things. So here's the thing, children, mums and dads. We must continue to get close to God. Why? To discover and fulfill our destiny. Hear this. Coming to church a couple of times a month isn't going to do it. You hearing this? Only an encounter or a meeting with God, an invitation to a relationship with him. That's where you want to be. Gideon's invitation from the angel, inviting him to have an encounter with God, could be the beginning of a personal relationship with God. He now has the opportunity to be an Abraham or a Moses, but most importantly, a friend of God. Gideon has the opportunity now to overcome the enemy, but also to lead the people of God back into the place of worship. And mums and dads, you're here today. You can take your kids home and allow them to read a little bit more about the story of Gideon. With each step of his journey, he doubted. Every step he doubted. And at each stage, he turned to God, and God gave him the faith and the courage he needed. Would you stand with me this morning? I just want to encourage you today. God has an identity and destiny, yes he does, for every single one here today. But we are first and foremost created to have an intimate love relationship with God. This is both the beginning of our identity and the ultimate end of our destiny. As believers, we are sons and daughters of a loving Heavenly Father. This is a relationship that Jesus paid to redeem when he shed his blood on the cross for you and I. So the great encouragement is this. Let us seek to enter into our personal God-given identity and then, through life, choose to fulfill it. So, Father, I pray for our families today. I thank you that we are the family of God. I thank you that you've put us together for this season of life and for this time. And we know, Lord, within all families there can be ups and downs, there can be irks, there can be difficulties, there can be struggles. But, Lord, we are family. And you've put us together to work together, to be together, to encourage each other and to live together. So I pray for every family joined in this church today, that you'd increase them and bless them and use them. And give our young ones a greater revelation of who Jesus is. That they would choose to follow and serve him through all their life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stephen.
Amen. Wasn't that a wonderful word? Can we have a big round of applause for the word of God and the kids, please? Amen. Our next act of worship is to uplift our tithes and offerings. The large box is for our general tithes. The other box is for our missions in Ghana. Just come when you're ready.